Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf He. We begin on the very last two words of Dalet Amud Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Tili Beer, Chaya Toba Bas Elio. We're also learning Le'ili Nishmas Mr. Harry Laub, Tzvi Ben Yol. Harry was a member of the Shiv for many, many years. He was Nifter, and we remember him very fondly. All the Nishonos we learned for should Yetzir Hashem have an Aliyah from our learning. The end of yesterday year, we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan said that anything that was written down in regards to Miluyim is ma'akev. This shita was stated as kol hakosuv behen ma'akev behen. Anything that was written down by Aaron HaKohen during the 7 days that he was separated, and then on the eighth day, anything that Moshe Rabbeinu told him, and it's written down in the Torah, is ma'akev. And if Aaron HaKohen didn't do it, then the Hakomas and Mishkan wouldn't be done properly. On the other hand, Rabbi Chanina held, no, only things that were written down that were ma'akev for future generations were also ma'akev by Aaron HaKohen. But if it wasn't ma'akev for future generations, then it wasn't ma'akev by the Miluim as well. So Gemara starts off the last two words of Dalet Amud Beis, Mai Beinayu. What's the nafkamina? What's the halachic difference between these two shittas? We're going to give four reasons, and we turn to Hey Amud Aleph. The first one is as follows. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Smicha Itko Beinayu. Do you have to lean on the carbon? That's called smicha, leaning on the carbon with all your weight. That is a halachic difference between the opinion of Yochanan, who would say that it is ma'akev, and the opinion of Rav Chanina, that would say it's not ma'akev. Why is that? L'man di'omar kol ha'kosuv ben ma'akev, and of course Rav Yochanan says that anything written down that Aaron HaKohen was told to do by Moshe Rabbeinu is ma'akev, so then smicha is ma'akva, then smicha is written down, so therefore smicha is ma'akev. But according to Rav Chanina, l'man di'omar dovrish ein ma'akev l'doros ein ma'akev behen, so smicha is not ma'akev for future generations, so therefore smicha lo ma'akva wasn't ma'akev by Aaron HaKohen. Yes, it's a mitzvah, he should have done it, but if he didn't do it, the service that he was talking about, the avoda, the carbon that he was bringing, would still be valid. Now, how do we know that for future generations, smicha is not ma'akev? Uladoros minolon to lo ma'akev. Where do we see that smicha by a carbon is a mitzvah, but if you don't do it, it's not ma'akev, the carbon is still a good carbon? Because the pasuk tells us, v'samach, and then in between it, there are words, v'samach yodo arosh ha'olah, v'nir tzolo l'chaper olav. So therefore, we have v'samach, you do the leaning, and then it says, because you do the leaning, veneer tzolo l'chaper olav, that somehow that leaning is what gives you the ritzui, that what makes it acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that true? The Gemara says, v'chis smicha b'chaperis, does that leaning, somach lead to veneer tzolo l'chaper olav? That's not true. V'lo ein kapara l'medam, the only thing that gives the kapara to the person, his karma is accepted, and he gets the kapara that he's going to hopefully get from bringing in the carbon is by the zrika, because the pasuk says shenemar ki adam hu banefesh shechaper. The pasuk tells us that it is the dam that is what is mechaper. So how can you tell me over here the somach leads to veneer tzolo lechaper olav? So then, what does it mean? So why are those two connected if it's not true? So what's the pasuk trying to teach us? So the pasuk is telling us the importance of doing the smicha, even though it's not ma'akev. Shemasol smicha shor mitzvah. If you think the smicha is something that's unimportant, it's a remnant of the mitzvah. It's not the real mitzvah. It's something that's not important. So then, ma'alo of akasu. Then the Torah is telling us ki'ilu lo kiper. It's as if you don't get a kapara if that's the way you treat it, albeit the kiper. The halach is that even without the smicha, you get a kapara. So the reason why the pasuk writes the samach, yodo arosh olah, then near tzolo l'chaper love, is to teach us the importance of smicha, albeit it is not ma'akev. So this is nafkamina number one between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan would say that the smicha by Aaron HaKohen, by the miluim, on the Hakamas and Mishkan, was an absolute requirement, and if Aaron didn't do it, the carbon wasn't accepted. Versus Rabbi Chanina says, in the future, it's not ma'akev, so it's not ma'akev by the miluim as well. Number one. Number two. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Amari says the second nafkamina between the two shittos is as follows. Tenufa ikuminayu. The exact same discussion we'll have by tenufa. Tenufa is the waving of a carbon. Certain korbanos, especially korban shlomim, have to be waved. Now, tenufa is another example where Rav Yochanan would say it was ma'akev by the miluim, and Rabbi Chanina would say it's not ma'akev in the future, therefore it's not ma'akev by the miluim as well. L'man di'omar kol ha'kosuv ben ma'akev, and of course Rabbi Yochanan says that anything written down is ma'akev, so then if Aaron HaKohen did not do the tenufa on the shlomim, ma'akva, it would be ma'akev. According to Rabbi Chanina, l'man di'omar dover she'ena ma'akev l'doros ena ma'akev behen lo ma'akva. He would say that it's not ma'akev by the miluim, it's important, but if Aaron didn't do it, then it still would be a good carbon. Now, same question as before. How do we know that the tenufa is not ma'aki for the future generations. Uladoros minolong de lo ma'akla. How do we know that the tenufa is not ma'aki in the future? So again, we have a pasuk. The tiny. The pasuk tells us le tenufa lechaper olav. The pasuk tells us that when a person does a tenufa, so then that will bring about the kapara. Now, is that really true? The chi tenufa mechaperis is the tenufa what gives the person the kapara, the waving of the carbon that brings the kapara. That's not true. Follow in kapara elabidam, that the kapara is only brought about via the sprinkling of the dam on the mizbeach. Shenemar ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. The pasuk beferish says that the dam is what brings the kapara. So then, how do we understand the pasuk where it says l'snufa l'chaper olav? Uma tamu loma l'snufa l'chaper. What does that mean? So again, it teaches us the same thing as by the smicha. Shemasol l'tnufa shiori mitzvah malov akosav kilo kiper. That if a person, in fact, didn't treat the tenufa with the proper respect, it didn't say, I'm going to do this, and that, this can't be important, it's a waving, and it's karma, come on, give me a break, that's not important. So if a person treats it like a shiori mitzvah, he teaches like a remnant of a mitzvah, then it's not important. So, ki'ilu lo keeper, it's as if he doesn't get a kapara, because you denigrated the karma by not doing this. However, halacha l'maisa lo keeper, but you did in fact get a kapara. That's nafkamina number two, between Riochan and Rechanina. Similarly, the third one, Rapapa Amar, Prishas Shiva Ikabinayu. Did you have an obligation to be separated? That's Ma'akev. We know you're supposed to be separated. Aaron Cohen was told to be separated for the 7 days. And on the 8th day, there was Da'akamas HaMishkan. So if he didn't do the separation, Rav Yochanan would say, it's Ma'akev, because it's written down, it's Ma'akev. And according to Rabbi Chanina, in the future, it's not Ma'akev. So therefore, it's not Ma'akev by the Miluim as well. That's the third nafkamina. Rapapa mar prisha shiva ikubinayu. What is that? Again, Rav Yochanan l'man d'yomer kol hakosav b'ma'akev b'hem akva. L'man d'yomer dovish enam akev l'doros enam akev b'hem lo ma'akva. So this is exactly this machlokas. Again, Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, it's not ma'akev in the future. Rav Yochanan says that's irrelevant. It's written down, it's ma'akev. And Rabbi Chanina says if it's not ma'akev in the future, then it's not ma'akev even by the miluim. Now, how do we know? Same exact question as before. Uladoros minolon de lo ma'akva. How do we know that for future generations, if you didn't separate the Kohen Gadol, for example, for the 7 days before the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the 7 days before Yom Kippur, then it's not ma'akev. How do we know that that's true? Uminolon de lo ma'akva. Because Mora says, midekor toni maskine, because we already had this question several times already. It says in the Mishnah that they prepared a second Kohen Gadol just in case the first Kohen Gadol had a problem. He had a psul, it became tomei, Nebuchi died. The lo katani mafrishim, but it doesn't say that they had to be mafrish this second Kohen. And therefore, you clearly see that if there was a psul of the first Kohen, the second Kohen took over, but he wasn't separated, so therefore it's obviously not ma'akev. There's our third nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. And finally, the fourth nafkamina, Ravina Amar, Ribui Shiva, Umeshicha Shiva, Ikebinayu. There's really two nafkaminas, but they're lumped together by Ravina as Ravina's sheet. So it's really number four and number five, to be technical. The Ribui Shiva, the wearing of the special garments that the Kohen Gadol has to wear. A regular Kohen wears four garments, the Kohen Gadol wears eight garments. So this Ribui, this adding on of the extra garments every day during the Zayin Miluim, the Shiva Shimei Miluim, the 7 days of preparation for the 8th day of the Hakamash of Mishkan. So Aaron the Kohen had to wear the special 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol every day, and Mashiach, he was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha every day. So these are Ma'akev, according to Rav Yochanan, because it states it in the Pasuk, but according to Rabbi Chanina, since they're not ma'akev for future generations, so therefore they're not ma'akev. If Aaron HaKohen hadn't been separated for 7 days and didn't have the Mashiach every day, he still would be acceptable for the Avodah on the 8th day. And that's what the word now tells us. According to Rabbi Yochanan, call the ma'akev, that if it's written, it's ma'akev, so then this too is ma'akev. Ma'akva. However, according to Rabbi Chanina, L'man D'Yomer, Dovrish, Ein Ma'akev, L'doros, Ein Ma'akev, so then lo ma'akva. Anything that's not absolutely required for the future generations is not going to be required for Aaron HaKohen as Ma'akev. Again, everybody agrees. Even Rav Chanina agrees you're supposed to do this. The only question is it Ma'akev or not? And again, we ask the same questions we asked before. L'doros minolon de lo ma'akva. How does Rabbi Chanina know that in the future generations that it's not Ma'akev doing the ribui begodim and doing the meshicha. So the Gemara says the Tanya, that we have a brisa for, because pasuk says v'chi per hakohen asher yimshach oso v'asher yimali yisyodu l'chayin tachas aviv. When you're dealing with a kohen gadol who's taking over in the place of his father who is the kohen gadol, so it says that you have to do the shemen hamishcha and he has to have the ribui begodim. Now, ma tamud lomar, what does this pasuk teach us? Lefish, and Nehemiah, we already said, Shivas Yomim Yilbosham HaKohen Tachto Mibanov. We already said that when you're putting in a new Kohen Gadol, he has to put on the garments, the Ribui Begodim, the eight garments, for a 7-day period of time. So, Ein Lielanis Rabba Shiva V'Nimshach Shiva. So, I would know that you're supposed to do this for 7 days, both the Ribui Begodim and the anointment with the Shemen HaMishcha. That's what the Pasuk says. Shivas Yomim Yilbosham HaKohen Tachto Mibanov. As the end of the pasuk says, before Asher Yovo Eloh Moed L'Shores B'Kodesh, so you have to do this Ribui Begodim. So Ein Li Ela Nisraba Shiva V'Nimshach Shiva. And the previous pasuk had said, Asher Yimshach Oso, you need it for 7 days. So Nisraba Shiva V'Nimshach Yom Echad. So the chiddush of this pasuk is that what happens if he only had the Ribui Begodim for 7 days and only had the Meshicha, the anointment, for 1 day, or vice versa? Nisraba Yom Echad, he only had the Ribui Begodim for 1 day, V'Nimshach Shiva, and he had the anointing for 7 days. How do we know that that is also good? In other words, it's not makif to have 7 of each. As long as you have 1 day at least of the Ribui Begodim and 1 time the Shemen HaMishcha, that's acceptable b'di'eved. Minayin, how do we know that that is true? Talmud Lomar, Asher Yimshach Osov, Asher Yimali Es Yado. Because the pasuk says that you just have to be Meshicha and Ribui Begodim even 1 time. That implies Mikol Mokum, even 1 time. So this is Rabbi Chanina. From this juxtaposition, these psukim tells us that it's not makif for future generations, and therefore, now let's look at this drush a little bit more carefully. It really only mentioned here the ribui begodim for the 7 days. It didn't tell us yet nimshach for 7 days. So the Gemara says, ashchan ribui shivo l'chatchila. This tells us that l'chatchila you have to have the ribui begodim for 7 days, but b'di'evet, it's acceptable if you only did it for 1 day. But how do you really see from here meshicha shivo l'chatchila minolam? Where does it say that you have to do the meshicha for 7 days as a l'chatchila, even though b'di'evet, it's acceptable for 1 day? So Gemara says two possible answers over here. Ibai Seima, you could answer me the itzdrich krolim ute, because if you're telling me we need a separate pasuk to go and exclude it, we just brought down the pasuk asher yimshach osov asher yimali yisyado. So that comes to tell me that you don't need 7 days. The implication is that you do need 7 days. So that's the first teretz. Ibai Seima, alternatively, because you have another pasuk, the Omar Kro, the pasuk says uvigde hakodesh asher liyaron, the special garments that the children of Aaron had to wear, Yulavon of Achrov, for those that are going to become a Kohen Gadol after him, L'moshcha b'hem u'lamali bo mishyodam. He has to go and be anointed in them, and he has to go and wear them. Iskash Meshicha l'ribui. So therefore we connect the Meshicha to the ribui. The ribui, ma ribui shiva, just like we just learned out that the ribui should be ideally for 7 days, or will be the evidence acceptable with 1 day. So to af meshicha shiva, the lachila, the meshicha should be every day, albeit it's acceptable even with 1 day. So therefore, this is the fourth and fifth difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina as to whether it was ma'akev or not by Aaron HaKohen. Nadigmar says, my time of demand the armor call across the ma'akev. What is the underlying reason that Rav Yochanan says that if it's written down by the Miluim, by the Akamas HaMishkan, it's Ma'akev, regardless of what happens in the future? Rav Yochanan Shita is everything that's written down there is Ma'akev. Why? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna, Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna explains, because based upon the Pasuk Omar Kro, the Yossi Saliyarin Avonov, Kocha. We use this word Kocha exactly like this. Kocha is a buzzword to tell me that it's Ma'akev. Kocha Ikuvahu. The fact that it states Kocha tells us that it is Ma'akev. That's Rav Yochanan Shita. Now, where it says, Tainach, call Milsa, we turn to the Amud Beis. Hey, Amud Beis, that's great for everything that was written down. Tainach, call Milsa, Dersiva, Bahayin Yana, where it says Kocha. So everything around Kocha is going to be Ma'akev. Very good. That's what Rav Yochanan says. What about things that aren't written by this word Kocha? Milsa, Lo, Ksiva, Bahayin Yana, Minolan. But if it was written down adjacent to these words, kocha, so there were other things. How do we know, according to Yochanan, that they're ma'akev as well? Rashi explains that it's written down by kocha, that's in Parshas Tzavor de Miluim, that's written down in the Parsha of Atot Tzaveh, in Parshas Tzaveh. However, the Miluim are again written down later on in Parshas Tzav, right? 2 weeks ago was Parsha. So in Parsha Tzav, it also wrote down some of the things that happened by the Miluim, and those it didn't say Kocha. So how do you know all the things in Parsha Tzav are also Ma'akev, according to Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, things in Parsha Tzav, we have Kocha. But what about all the things in Parsha Tzav? So again, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, here Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak tells us, Yolev Pesach, Pesach, we have Gzeira Shova. And this wording of Pesach in Parshas Tetzaveh is actually written twice, so it's mufni. One of them was unnecessary. When you have Gzeira Shova, this mufni, then it is not going to be able to be shlugged up. And it says Pesach twice also in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's also mufni, so it's mufni mishnei tzadim, and this type of Gzeira Shova can't be shlugged up. So therefore, this connection between Tzav and Tetzaveh teaches us that just like by Tetzaveh it's ma'akev, so too in Tzav, all the things listed there are ma'akev. That's teretz number one. We have another teretz over here. Rabbi Misharishia tells us that all the things in Parshas Tzav are also ma'akev because Ushmartim es mishmeres Hashem. It says over there that you should be careful to protect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments. Ushmartim es mishmeres Hashem. So this is also a word like, a buzzword like kocha to teach us that it's ikuva. It's ma'akev if you don't do it. And finally, we have a third teretz as well. Rav Ashi Omar, it says the words kichein tzuveisi. Kichein tzuveisi is another type of a buzzword. It says in Tzav that tells us ikuva, that it's ma'akev if you don't do it. So we have different buzzwords, and this is true throughout Shas, that we have certain ideas that are brought down by the Beis HaMikdash that are la'akev. And there's certain buzzwords. When those buzzwords are used, sometimes also if it's repeated, if it says it twice, so that means it's ma'akev. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says that all the things that are written down, both in Parshas Tetzaveh and in Parshas Tzav regarding the Miluim, are in fact ma'akev. Now, since we said the word kichein tzuveisi as being an important phrase over here, so we're going to now darshan several other places where it uses a lashon of tzava within this discussion. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in a braisa, it says in regards to the Hakamas HaMishkan, three times a lashon of tzava. It says, kichein tzuveisi. This first pasuk is in Parashah Shmini, where it says, V'achaltem oso b'makom kadosh, kichocho v'choch b'necha hi, meishi Hashem, kichein tzuveisi. And this is in regards to the Korban Mincha that Aaron had to bring. And it said, V'achaltem oso, you had to eat this Korban Mincha. Now, we'll see in a moment, Aaron and his sons, Elazar and Isamar, were unfortunately in Aninus at this point in time because Nadav and Avihu had just been killed. They were Nisraf. So that's the first pasuk says, L'chein tzuveisi, in regards to eating of the Korban Mincha. The second pasuk is kasher tzivesi. Now this pasuk is hein lo hovo es damo ala kodesh penima achol tochlu osu aba kodesh kasher tzivesi. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Aaron, how come you didn't go and eat the korban chatos, which was the chatos of Rosh Chodesh, right? The korban semishkum was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, kasher tzivesi, as I told you to do. This was a mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually making, and we'll discuss this more in a moment. And the third time it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem. This pasuk is in regards to the Shokha Truma v'chasei Tnufa, Ali Sheya Chalavim Yaviu Lo Nif Tnufa Lati Hashem V'yol L'chol Ovenecha Itchol L'chol Kolam Kasher Tziva Hashem. So this pasuk is dealing with the Shlamim, and it says, you have to eat the Shlamim. Don't make the same correct calculation that you made in regards to the Chattas that you weren't supposed to eat, but the Shlamim you are supposed to eat, even though you're in Aninus. That's what the Gemara is telling us over here. I just gave you really the entire discussion. Now let's see it inside in the Gemara. So we have the three psukim, Tanu Rabbanu, Kichein Tzuveisi, Kasher Tzuveisi, and Kasher Tzivashem. What's the purpose of each one? Kichein Tzuveisi, Baninus Yochlua. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, who told Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, that you are supposed to eat the Korban Mincha, even though normally a Kohen in Aninus doesn't even do the Avoda, but the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avoda in Aninus, and therefore Aaron was able to do the Avoda, but normally you would not eat a Korban Mincha. Normally a Korban Mincha is not eaten, but here they were told that you do eat this Korban Mincha even though you're in a state of Aninus. That's number one. Second, Kasher Tzivesi Bishas Maisom Olhem. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they did not eat the Korban Chatas, now the Chatas was for Rosh Chodesh, and for all future Rosh Chodesh, you would bring this similar chatas. This wasn't specific only for the Hakamas HaMishkan. This was specific for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, in the future, even a Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring the Korban for Rosh Chodesh while he's in Aninus, is not allowed to eat it. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu mistakenly thought that they were supposed to eat this chatas. But Moshe Rabbeinu actually made a mistake. And he acknowledged that to Aaron Ubanov afterwards. So Moshe Rabbeinu here is questioning them, didn't I tell you you're supposed to eat it? Now Moshe Rabbeinu really had only been instructed to tell them to eat the mincha and the shlomim, but not the chatas. And therefore Aaron HaKohen realized that he wasn't allowed to eat the chatas, and he didn't, and he burnt it. So therefore this kasher tzivesi is Moshe's question to Aaron b'shas maiso malahem, how come he didn't eat it? And then, when he realized he was wrong, he said, fine, I was wrong for the chatas, but please don't think that I'm also wrong for the shlomim. Hashem said, kasher tziva Hashem, v'lo mi'alai ni'almer. I'm not saying it on my own. Hashem said, yes, even though you're an aninus, you should eat the carbon shlomim. So this was a sidebar discussion over here, since we mentioned chichen tzivesi, so we have in this parasha three times with tziva Hashem, what those understandings are. Gemara continues and says, Om Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina says, Michnosayim ain't ksuvim b'parasha. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron and he dressed the sons, Elazar and Isamar, so it doesn't say anything about wearing michnasayim, wearing the pants. So we know, of course, that they did wear the pants. That was the first thing that they put on, so they shouldn't be in an undressed state. But it doesn't mention the michnasayim specifically. So how do we know he was supposed to wear the michnasayim also? So the pasuk says, Kishomer, the pasuk tells us, Vizeh hadovar. Asher tasel lehem lekadesh osom lechayin li. That's the end of the pasuk. Lekach parachod ben makor ve'elim shnayim tmimim. How do we know that that was an obligation? The fact that this begins with a vav connects it to the preceding psukim and teaches us lohavi hamichnasayim, to teach us that the kohanim Aaron Ubanov had to wear michnasayim, they had to wear the pants v'asiris or eifah, and they also had to bring the special korban of the kohen gadol, which is the asiris or eifah machatzisa baboker machatzisa bein horboyim. This was a special chavit and korban that the kohen gadol had to bring. So how do we know that this is what this means? So bishlom michnasayim, it's clear that they had to wear the pants kasivi binyana de begadim, because it's written previously that they were dealing with begadim. So therefore, when it connects it with the zeh hadavar, so that comes to be also include the michnasayim. Very good. Okay. As Rashi says, Zavav is Mosif Alinyan Rishon, Hamadabir Bitzavos, Asiyas HaBegadim. The previous paragraphs, the previous psukim, dealt with the begadim. And Visham Kasiv, Vaseilehem, Michnasayimad. And there it says that you should make michnasayim. So that tells us that he had to put on the michnasayim. So Bishlom Michnasayim. However, Elo Asiris, so Eifa Minolam. But what is it talking about, the Asiris Eifa? Shakohanim Srichim Lohavi Biom Chinuchim, that the Kohen Gadol had to bring the Chavitin, and as well, on the day of inauguration, everybody had to bring the same Chavitin that the Kohen Gadol had to bring. So Aaron HaKohen had to bring it, and Elazar Nisamar all had to bring their Minchas Chinuch. That's where the name Minchas Chinuch comes, the Mincha that is their inaugural Mincha. Vavilo Hedyot, even the non-Kohen Gadol has to bring it. We learned this early in the Masechta as well. Even a hedyot had to go and bring his minchas chinuch. So how do we know that this was also required? Asiris ha'efa minolim. So where it says, no, this is a gzeir shava, even though it's not from the vav, but this is a gzeir shava, asya zeh zeh. This is a gzeir shava. It says, mi v'zeh korban aron uban v'ashe akiv l'ashem asiris ha'efa. And it said over here, zeh hadovar asher tasalem l'kadish usom l'chayin li. So therefore, we have a connection between these two psukim, zeh zeh, and this second zeh that we just brought down is dealing with the asiris ha'efah, their inaugural minchas chinuch. So that's how we know that that was required of them as well. Gemara tells us another thing that was ma'akev. Amar v'yochra mishum v'yishum v'yochoy. Minayin shaf mikra parsha ma'akev. That the reading of the parsha was also ma'akev. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron that you have to read certain things. You have to read the entire discussion of the Miluim. How do we know that? Minayin shaf mikra parsha ma'akev. That the reading of this is ma'akev. Talmud Lomer, because the pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe el ho'edah, zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. This Dibor is also commanded Asher Tziv Hashem, which teaches us Afilu Dibor Ma'akev, that even this saying over of all of these instructions was part of the process, and if you didn't have it said over, it would be Ma'akev. As Rashi brings down the Mikra of the Miluim, Shinitztava, Biatob, Tetzavah, the psukim that it says there in Tetzavah, Omalem Letzibor, Bi Esim Ushlosh, Bi Ador. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu started this on the 23rd day of the month of Adar, when the Miluim started, 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Kishishchilu HaMiluim, The Hikilas Vaedah gathered all the people, the Pesach Olam Moed, Shenema, Vatikol Eid Vagomer, he had to gather them, and it says, Vayomer Moshe Eloi Doth, Zeh Adavar, Shetziv Hashem Lasos. He had to tell them, this is what Hashem said, Umikroz Halalu, Basiyas Hamiluim, Bitzavis Aro. And as well, all the other Tzivui that were said in Parashat Tzav, all of this had to actually be stated, otherwise the appropriate doing of the Miluim and the Hakamas HaMishkan would not have been done. This was Ma'akev as well. Finally, the Gemara says, Ketzed El Bishon, what was the proper order that Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron Ubanov? As Rashi points out over here, Seder Begoim La'av Ulubanov, for Aaron and his sons. Zeh Achar Zeh. He had to do Aaron first, and then he did his sons, but what was the order? Did he fully dress Aaron, and then fully dress his sons? Or did he dress Aaron and his son? Aaron and his sons, for each one of the Begodim. So Gemara says, Kate said, Obishon, what are you talking about? My Dahavahava, who cares? I mean, why is this Halach Lamaisa? We don't discuss historical facts in the Gemara for the sake of historical facts. What difference does it make how Aaron and his sons were dressed by Moshe Rabbeinu? Gemara says, no. Elo Kate said, Ma'bishon lo'osud lovo. We're asking, Yitz Hashem, Meir Yameinu, today hopefully, that Moshiach is going to come, and there'll be Tchias HaMeisim, and Aaron and Bonav are going to need to have a new Minchas Chinuch, and they're going to need to go through this inaugural process again. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to go and dress them again. How will this be done? Be'etz Hashem, it should be halacha l'maisa for today. Gemara says also, lo'asid lo v'nami. Be'etz Hashem, this comes today, whenever it will come. L'kshiyavo, Aaron Uvanov, Moshe Imam. So we'll ask them then. Why are you asking this question right now? The Bach adds the key words, v'yomar. We could ask Moshe Rabbeinu then, and he's going to tell us then. V'yomar. So why are you asking this question now? Gemara says, no. Elikates at Elbishon, Lemisbar Kroy, because we want to understand what seems to be a stira in the psukim, and we want to explain it. What's the stira in the psukim? Pligaba b'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. The sons of Rabbi Chiya argued with Rabbi Yochanan about the following stira in the psukim. Chadamar, one of them said, based upon the psukim, Aaron got dressed first by Moshe Rabbeinu, and only afterwards, when Aaron was fully dressed, v'achakach bonav, did Moshe Rabbeinu dress the sons of Aaron. And the other opinion, we don't know which one said which, v'chadamar, no, Aaron ubanav v'vasachas, they were all dressed simultaneously. Gemara will explain, obviously they weren't dressed simultaneously, but it means that a garment was put on Aaron, and then the same garment was put on his sons. Then the garment was put on Aaron, and then immediately afterwards, the same garment was put on his sons. So this opinion differs than the first opinion. The first opinion says, first Aaron got fully dressed, then Moshe fully dressed the sons. The second opinion says, a garment was put on Aaron, and the same garment was put on the sons. Another garment was put on Aaron, and then the same garment was put on the sons. So this is a machlokes between Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan. Amar Abaye says, Biksones umitznefes, in regards to the Ksones, which is like the shirt that they wore, umitznefes, which was the hat that they wore, kuli amalo pligi, the Aaron, v'yachakach bonim. Here, in this regard, everybody agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu first put on the Ksones and the Mitznefes on Aaron, and only afterwards did he do his sons. That is no machlokis. Whichever opinion said that it was Aaron's sons, in the same garments, didn't say that for the Mitznefes and the Ksones. There, everybody agreed that first the Ksones and Mitznefes were put on Aaron. He already had the Michnasayim on. And then, you're arguing about whether the belt was put on Aaron as well at that point in time or not. That's the last thing that's left. The Bain, the Mitzava, or Bain Basia, both in the place where it was said to do this and the actual place where they did this, the idea of the Tzavah and the Asiyah, that's Parshas Tzavah and Parshas Tzav. So in both places, certainly Aaron came first. There's nobody that says otherwise. And they likewise all had the Michlasayim on because they couldn't be around not dressed. So the only thing that's left, Ki Pligei Ba'avnei, with the belt, right? These are the four Begodim that both Aaron HaKohen wore as well as his sons, the regular Kohanim. So in the four garments, there's no disagreement that they all had on their pants. And then Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron with the Ksonis and the Mitznefes, and then he dressed the Banav of Aaron with the Ksonis and Mitznefes. The only question is in regards to the Avnate. Did he first put the Avnate on Aaron and then dress the sons? Or did he first put on the Avnate only after he dressed all the sons and then put the Avnate on Aaron and then put the Avnate on the sons? The one who says that first he dressed Aaron completely and only afterwards went to the Banav, that's based upon the pasuk. This is the chsiv, vayachkar oso boavnet. He put the avnet on, he put the belt on him, and then it says vahadar chsiv, vayachkar osom boavnet, and then he did the sons. That implies that they were put on at two different times. It didn't say vayachkiru osom boavnet, that he put on the avnet on all of them. It says he put it on an Aaron, and then it says separately that he put it on the sons, implying that they were done at different times. But one says they didn't bevasachas. Again, bevasachas doesn't mean simultaneously. It means one right after the other. It says that he did all of them. So this implies he did all of them at the same time. Now, here's the steer between the two psukim. One seems to say that they were done at different times, but the fact that it says it twice, vayachgar osom bavneit, and it says vayachgar osom bavneit again, and the other one says v'chogar tosom, that he did them all together. So there's a steer in the psukim, and that's what each mandiyama here, Reb Chiya and Reb Yochanan, accents on one of the series of psukim and not the other. So the question is, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? According to the second opinion, it says v'chogar tosom is the critical pasuk, and therefore he did them all one right after the other. What does he do with the other pasuk? It seems to imply that they were done at two separate times. What's going on according to that mandiyama with the first series of psukim? We turn to Vav Amud Aleph. Amaloch, this man the Yoma would say, again, we don't know whether it was the Bnei Rav Chiya or Rav Yochanan, this man the Yoma would say, how avneto shel kohen gadol, lo zehu avneto shel kohen hedyot. The reason why it mentions two different times, vayach gorosom bo'avnet, is because the avnet of the kohen gadol was a different makeup than the avnet of the regular kohanim. As Rashi explains, the critical pasuk is v'chagar tosom, dafku bevasachas. Why does it repeat it twice? Once vayachkor som avneit, and another time vayachkor som avneit. Lamdenu she'ein avneitim shoven. They're not made of the same components. Shenema b'maisu avneit shel kohen gadol. The kohen gadol has v'yesu avneit sheish mazor techelus v'argomon, and lomadu shehu shel kilayim. This is kilayim. The sheish is kisna. The sheish is made up of flax. Utechelus is amr. It's made up of wool. And the kohen gadol was allowed to go and wear. He was told he had to wear kilayim, but avnet habanim. But the regular coins avnet of the sons of Aaron a coin lo pirish akosim imahayu. It didn't specify that they had to be out of kilayim, and therefore bashmin hocha the avneto shel kohen gadol lo zehu avneto shel kohen hedyot. So there shel kilayim, there shel butz. So therefore, this was why it mentions vayachkorosam b'avneit, vayachkorosam b'avneit. The teacher said there was two different types of avneit. But v'chagar to osam, they were both put on one right after the other. So that's the second mandiyomer. The first mandiyomer, the mandiyomer Aaron v'yachakach b'anav. The first mandiyomer that we brought down said that Aaron was fully dressed, and only then afterwards did Moshe Rabbeinu vayachkorosam b'avneit, vayachkorosam b'avneit, do the sons afterwards. It says v'chsiv v'chagar to osam avneit. It seems to suggest that they were done together. What does this mandiyomer do with that? On Malach, he comes to teach us. When it says v'chagarto som avneit together, it seems how kamashulon avneto shel kohen gadol zehu avneto shel kohen hedyot. This mandiyama says that they were the same. Klomar shneim shel kilayim, as Rashi says, that this mandiyama doesn't think that the avneit of the regular coin was made just of butz. He says no, that was also made of kilayim. They both wore the exact same type of avneit made out of kilayim, and that's why it says v'chagarto som avneit. Why does it then tell us Vayachgar osom b'avneit twice separately? So there, vayachgar osom, the bachet's the word, the base. Vayachgar osom b'avneit, and vayachgar osom b'avneit. Why does it say it twice, lomali? Shmami, no, that comes to teach us his shita, that first Aaron, and then, after Aaron was fully dressed, then Moshe Rabbeinu went to dress the sons, vayachakach b'anav. Mori asks the final question, which I've already alluded to a couple of times. Uvavasachas mimishkachsla, did Moshe Rabbeinu simultaneously, according to this opinion, put on three belts at the same time, Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, all simultaneously at the same time? So Gemara says, no. Lo, tzricho de achtim. Of course he had to put on one at a time, but it meant that he did them one right after the other. So first he put on Aaron, then immediately on Elazar, then immediately on Isamar. Again, Mistama, he did it also for Nodav and Aviv before Nebuch, they were killed on Bahi by Yom HaShmini. So Mistama, when it's Aaron and Banav, it really means Nodav and Aviv as well, that during the 7 days of the Miluyim, they dressed them as well. This is a good stopping point. With this, we conclude today's share.